WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth,
very
Charlie
good.
Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us, sir. How are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome and good evening. You are indeed tuned into Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 ATD. Interesting enough, noting, listening to my intro coming in, eventually, someday, Ben, we will have to replace that intro, because half of those people, I've had people who've said stuff in the past, like, well, those people aren't even in office anymore. They're no longer somebody that you would probably, you know, they're enjoying their everyday life. They're no longer an elected official or an appointed official. And I say that because I heard Susan Bump's part in the intro, and she is not seeking re-election. So, as we had her on, I think like a month and a half ago, she was on, and she mentioned that it was part of the segment that she will not be seeking office as state auditor. So, very interesting indeed.
Indeed, it is.
We have a fantastic show lined up for you, as I say every week. I think I come through with that promise. We will start off the first hour, of course, with the State House Report. It's a staple in this program. We're fortunate enough to be able to have a fantastic relationship with many of the legislators here on the South Shore and beyond. Joining us this week is State Senator Susan Moran. Got a bunch of things to talk with the senator about. Not only the press conference that they had last week in regards to funding. It is time, folks, to replace the Sagamore and Bourne bridges. And there's a conversation about where the infrastructure legislation is at federally. We'll talk with her about that. Talk about restaurants and COVID, especially seeing that she is the chair of the Joint Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Licensure. We'll talk with her about that as they, I believe they have hearings coming up, or they had a hearing. Chat with her about that. And we have Peter Evers. He is the CEO of BAMZ. We'll chat with Peter about a couple of different things. First off, what is BAMZ? We know it's an acronym for something, but what is it? What is the acronym? They also have a new show that they're going to be doing on Sundays at 11 a.m. We'll get details about the new BAMZ show and also their push, the multi-platform COVID awareness campaign, or the COVID vaccine awareness campaign that they are doing to get the word out about everybody getting vaccinated. So we'll talk with Peter about that. Hour number two. We'll start things off with Adam Barisano. Remember Adam? We had Adam on in the spring. And during that conversation, we talked with him about the spring market, the important things. Well, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to break this to you, but fall is right around the corner. Actually, it's days away. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the fall market. Is it still something, if you're going to sell your house, should you still consider selling it, even though it's change of seasons? We'll talk with Adam about that. Adam, when he's not being one of the best realtors or real estate brokers on the South Shore, is a big sports entertainment fan, wrestling fan. And he's gonna stick around because we have Mike Sarge Riley is going to be in the house. You know him from the sports station up right up the dial, right? He also does the public address announcements at Gillette Stadium. I believe he also does that for the Revolution as well.
I think you are correct on that. When he has a great call on that PA. I love it.
He does. And he has a podcast. He actually has a podcast where he talks wrestling. So we talk a little AEW. We're going to talk a little WWE. And maybe we even talk a little bit of the local circuit. Because wrestling is a hot commodity in these parts. But I think I've yammered on just a little bit too long. Time for us to find out what's happening out on the roadways. Of course, it's being brought to you on this end by Brennan Smoke Shop. With locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford, Weymouth, and now in Hudson, New Hampshire. Joining us, we have Lisa DeMilo. Lisa, give us a final check of the roadways this evening.
Oh, sure, Kevin. The expressway southbound's inching along from the tunnel to Southampton Street, then slow from Squanum Street to the split. Northbound's crowded just from Adams Street to Freeport Street. Route 3 south delays from the Bergen Parkway down towards Union Street. 93 north, a brief tap of the brakes from Logan Express to Route 37. Route 24 south, that's busy from 93 to the Horse Bridge. This report is sponsored by General Dynamics IT. GDIT delivers the out of the possible, accelerating the power of digital modernization from AI to the cloud to cyber. Learn more at GDIT.com. Traffic on the nines every morning. I'm Lisa DeMilo in the WATD Traffic Center.
Mallory, this has been, like, the best, worst summer ever.
Why do you say that, Jeffrey?
The weather.
Oh,
the
weather. The
weather.
Mm-hmm. The boat sure looks great in the backyard.
The retro 1987 Quadrajet 350 Mercruiser.
That's not currently working.
What about playing your cousin's golf tournament?
It did not stop raining.
All
the
day.
Entire day. Well, Jeff, at least it was close to the new Brennan Smoke Shop in Hudson, New Hampshire.
Ah, that's what makes it the best worst summer ever. Hudson, New Hampshire, Brennan Smoke Shop.
Your pal Joe Healy just installed the signs.
My pal from high school, Mass Sign and Decal. Well, this is New England, and honestly, I thought commuting to New Hampshire every day in the rain was going to be a big deal, but it's really not that far.
It's really not that bad of a ride.
It's really not that long of a ride to tax-free Hudson, New Hampshire. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in the world. Customers must be 21 years of age or older, and as always, proper ID is required.
Have
a better summer.
Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Okay, we're back for our very first segment. Most notably, before we introduce our guest, if you are looking for any of the latest podcasts, they are up. They are up to date. And I just realized that we have over 40,000 downloads since we started doing this. It's an amazing number. I'm sure folks have way more, but for me, 40,000 is kind of a big number. So thank you for the downloads, and thank you for being a subscriber, and thank you for at least tuning in to 95.9 WATD for all that we can provide you, whether it's a morning, noon, or night. Joining us right now for the State House Report is none other than State Senator Susan Moran, and she's joining us on the cusp of getting ready to go and do something herself. Senator, welcome back to the radio program.
Oh, thank you so much, Kevin. Appreciate WATD keeping the listeners informed, and happy to be here.
I will tell you, when I usually do a little bit of scouting on social media for my next State House Report individual to step up, and I saw a fantastic picture just last week, and it had a little bit of a press conference going on. At the center of it was U.S. Senator Edward Markey, and I believe a Congressman Keating was there, yourself, State Representative Matt Muratori, Rep. Exaros, and Rep. Whalen. And the conversation, it appeared, or I believe the press conference had to do with infrastructure legislation for possibly replacement of the Sagamore and Bourne bridges. Give me your thoughts on that possible information that this is something that could become a reality.
Happy to. And the point of the press conference was kind of hot off the press information as far as Senator Markey and Congressman Keating had at the time. And Rep. Lenatra was also able to make it. And I was speaking with the neighbors in Bourne. We were right on the canal. And they said, you know, anytime something big happens, like a big ship goes through the canal because they're waterfront, they said, we ring the bell. Well, this was cause to ring the bell because Senator Markey was announcing that the infrastructure funds for replacement of the Bourne and Sagamore bridges are doing well, winding their way through Congress. And you might remember my maiden speech, as they call it, in the Senate, was about $350 million that I brought to the district to really start the on-ramps and planning and to get ready for so that we could really be shovel ready when the funding was going to be coming from the federal government. One of the things that makes this very probable is that the state and the Army Corps of Engineers, who was also represented at this meeting, had decided, you know, definitively, if the talk had gone back and forth, and definitively the bridges are going to be transferred to the state after the new bridges are built. New bridges are going to have modern considerations, obviously wide enough for the cars that we have today, not the ones 80 years ago when the bridges were built, which were a lot more narrow. And that's why you know, a lot of times you when the bridge sways a little bit, your heart goes kind of into your stomach as you're going across. Well, that's going to be ended when they're replaced. And what Senator Markey said is that he had, along with Congressman Keating, put in two or three options to make sure funding would be coming to the bridges one way or another. So it wasn't a complete done deal, as often is the case with the federal government, but certainly there's agreement the bridges have to be replaced, and the way the funding is coming is on the way. We're just not sure specifically how and when. But I'll tell you, one of the joys of the meeting was to be with my delegations from both the side of the canal with Bourne and Sandwich and Falmouth, and also from the Plymouth side. It just was incredible for us all to be there talking about things that we do have in common in the district, Republicans, Democrats, and it was a very productive meeting.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because it gives me a perfect segue, because when you talk about, you know, regardless of what your party affiliation is, being able to work together and be able to provide services to constituents. And I also wanted to mention something else that I had marveled at is something that yourself and State Rep Matt Muratori did. And this is, I believe, you both hosted a mental health care forum at the BID Plymouth.
You're absolutely right. I'll tell you, this came out of, We had Matt and I had worked with BI when they were doing their negotiations, primarily with nurses, and we wanted to really be there to support both sides to do the hard work in getting those contracts done. And out of that, Matt and I both have some medical background in various capacities. We came up to the knowledge from Beth Israel that they had, like other hospitals, including Cape Cod Health Care, a problem with boarding in the emergency room. And what that is folks who have mental health, severe issues, substance use, severe issues. Sometimes the police are called, for example. They get brought into the ER because they're in out of control state, and because of the lack of proper medical, psychiatric, and substance abuse treatment beds, there have been times where these individuals, including teenagers and children, have been required to stay in an emergency room for even times a month. And it's very difficult on the staff. It's they are ER staff. They're not particularly just psychiatric or substance use experts. A lot of it has to do with juggling insurance. A lot of it has to do with just finding the right program and matching up an empty bed. And we actually had a constituent of mine, a lovely grandmother from Falmouth, who is taking care and is the parent in charge of her grandson, who has documented psychiatric needs. She's been working with the school for years. And when I found out that this child, who's now, he's actually a teenager, had been boarded in a hospital emergency room for about 10 days, she just came to me, and I was able to call Mike Loft, the head of Cape Cod Healthcare, and ask him to intervene to see what he might be able to do with changing up a team and finding the right kind of hospitalization for him. But, you know, Kevin at Beth Israel Plymouth is dealing with exact same issues. It not only puts a stress on the emergency room staff, but it literally is, you know, is taking beds from folks who may need it. We have a rise in COVID situation right now. It's something that takes the regular operation of the hospital and throws a monkey wrench into it. And so it's not only the treatment for these families and these individuals, which is so incredibly needed, but it has an effect with the health, you know, providing to the entire community. So Rhett Moratori and I wanted to lift that. We actually got the secretary for the Department of Mental Health to participate, along with the police chief and head of the police chief in the state, Ed Dunn, who's out of Falmouth. And so it was a cooperative conversation about how all the organizations and experts can work together to get the log jams out of the system. And my office has been following up with the Commissioner of Mental Health weekly just to keep being the squeaky wheel. And Matt and I are going to continue to work on this until we get better services for our community.
And does this spell trying to get additional funding when it comes your turn to seek things from the state budget, or if there's a supplemental budget that's in the works that you'll put in to assist when it comes to extra funding to help for this cause?
Well, it's the only way, Kevin. You put your finger right on it. So, you know, when we had the Holyoke Soldiers Home in just a terrible situation with COVID deaths and our veterans who we should be protecting and giving resources to, just to thank them for their service along with their families. Well, what did we do? The Senate and House voted a boatload of money to build a new soldiers home, and it's the right thing to do. Well, years ago when we closed all of our mental health facilities, which was also the right thing to do, we did not put money into rebuilding the way that would match the need that we currently see. So Matt and I are looking to exactly that. In fact, I was speaking with Congressman Keating a day or two ago in follow-up, and he volunteered. He said, you know, when I was a DA, we did a program in Quincy, and that might be a good example for you to look at. So this is a case where you have the federal representatives and your Democratic and Republican state representatives coming together to solve this problem, and there's an urgency to it.
With your permission, and again, just so folks, if you're just tuning in, we are speaking with State Senator Susan Moran. She is our guest for this portion of Monday Night Talk. I want to talk a little bit about your duties as the chairperson of the Joint Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Licensure. What are you working on as far as items, action items for that committee at this particular time?
Well, it's very consumer-oriented, but focusing a lot on alcohol rules. We're going to be, in fact, doing a round table. We're coming out to restaurants and working with the Plymouth Chamber of Commerce, and we're going to be listening to restaurants. We've got some winery representatives we're looking for in Chamber of Commerce folks about whether there's a view that, you know, that outdoor dining should continue, for example. We want to hear, now that there's some data, and these restaurants who were so really just slaughtered by COVID and bankruptcy considerations and insurance not paying for the loss of business, we want to see, now that they have some numbers from when they were first the victims of COVID in terms of their business, we want to see where they are now. We also want to listen to consumers, restaurant patrons, to see if they think that outdoor dining should continue. And then we're going to bring that information back to the Senate and the House. But we look at all kinds of licensing. We had a hearing today a little bit earlier on, for example, Massachusetts is one of the few states that doesn't allow outside state proof of identity to buy alcohol. So you might have, say, somebody from Rhode Island who's 25, it hampers that establishment's business. So we're looking at many different ways of updating and improving the laws. There's also legislation that is filed to look at happy hours again. Now, that's something there was, I know growing up, the police in my town had a cracked up car where someone had been driving over the limit and maybe gotten hurt. And just to, Mothers Against Drunk Driving was started. So it's an issue that, we've certainly reviewed in the past. We're going to be listening to law enforcement and groups of really looking at what would be the proponents' view in terms of, the view of helping out businesses versus what are the safety concerns. So the main thing is to hear from constituents and people that are in business and who deal in that area before, really deciding on the legislation. So we're trying to get out as much as possible to listen to folks in the Consumer Protection Professional Licensure the committee.
Interesting enough, is second hour we're going to talk. We're going to talk a little real estate, a fall real estate when it comes to putting your home on the market. And the one constant when I speak to realtors is housing stock. And I believe that your committee has a conversation in regards to a housing roundtable. Is that accurate?
Oh, that's right. So we're looking at meeting at Plymouth Patuxent on October 5th, and I'm actually a realtor as well, and we want to look at creative ways of being able to have improved housing for everyone, whether it's older folks who may want to downsize, whether these are, folks who work in the town, teachers, police officers, hospital workers, anyone who wants to, to work and live in the same town. We want them to be able to do that. We want folks who need assistance to be able to get it in a way that doesn't have an unreasonable administrative burden on it. We're right now still in transition out of COVID. We have parents who are trying to get back to work full time, and I've got the Common Start MA.org child care bill where we're hoping to assist with child care so that folks will have enough money to be able to afford their apartments and perhaps buy homes. So these are things that are all integrated, and we're trying to collect as much information, listen to as many people as we can before the new legislative session starts.
Before we wrap up, is there anything that you want to touch upon before we say goodbye for a few weeks? Anything of importance that you want to at least share with the listeners?
Well, I think on everybody's mind right now is back to school. And, we have teachers who have families and, are different ages, older, younger. We've got young kids who can't be vaccinated. We also have folks that work in the system, from teachers to cafeteria to administrators to folks that take care of the building. And I applaud the governor for putting some leadership in terms of setting some boundaries and rules on masking, expanding vaccinations, because we want to get back to work as soon as possible. We want school to be safe. But, you know, it really is the job of the administration to set guidelines so that there aren't a lot of cobbled together programs or that folks don't know what the rules are. And I just really appreciate the fact that we're moving toward setting some expectations so that we can get on with the business of going back to school and getting as many people back to work as we can and keeping restaurants and businesses open.
Well, I want to thank you again for joining us on this program, as you do on a regular basis, and all the legislators who come to this radio station to at least discuss what's going on in the best interests of the South Shore. We definitely appreciate it.
Well, we all try to, you know, it's a competition who gets to come. You're between your knowledge and your listeners, you know, that's how we keep on the cutting edge of what we do. So thanks for that.
And if you have any constituents who are listening, what's the best way for them to reach your office?
So the best way is by emailing me at the State House. Susan.Moran@massstate.gov. Hopefully I'm not, I don't email myself, so hopefully I'm not messing that up. But the email is the best way, and it's on the State House website.
Excellent. Well, we want to thank you so much again for joining us and wish you the best Labor Day weekend as it fast approaches us.
Oh, it sure is. Hope it's beautiful weather for people to get out. And I'm going to state that email correctly. It's susan.moran@masenate.gov. There we go.
There she is, State Senator Susan Moran, our guest for this segment. We're going to step aside just for just a couple of moments. When we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Peter Evers, the CEO of BAMSI, joining us in just a moment.
What is AA?
Alcoholics Anonymous is an international fellowship of people who have had a drinking problem.
It is non-professional and self-supporting.
AA is multiracial, apolitical, and available almost everywhere.
There are no age or education requirements. Membership is open to anyone who wants to do something about their drinking problem.
For more information, literature, and videos about Alcoholics Anonymous, and to find a meeting near you, visit AA.org. Alcoholics Anonymous has a solution.
Are you worried about your drinking?
Or is someone else worried about your drinking?
Alcoholics Anonymous has a solution.
There is no shame in living with a disease called alcoholism.
Regardless of your age, employment, or any other circumstances in your life, you deserve help from other individuals who understand what you are going through. Alcoholics Anonymous is here for you 24/7 at AA.org. Find online meetings at AABoston.org.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. People ask me, is there anything they can do to prevent getting a broken windshield?
Is there anything I can do to prevent getting a broken windshield?
See? There is. Those big gravel trucks, when they're being loaded, rocks get stuck in the framework of the bed. Truck hits a bump, rock hits your windshield. It pays to stay way back.
It pays to stay way back.
However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Okay, we are back. Thank you very much for tuning in. Can't believe that we are cruising into September. Honestly, to me personally, it still feels like it's June. I could be wrong. I was having a conversation today. Someone said to me, it feels more like March. I'm like, okay.
Wasn't it just January a few minutes ago?
Life is just flashing right before our eyes. But you know what? Doing so in good health is very, very important. And we're privileged today, this evening, to be speaking with a gentleman who's actually going to be the host of a new show that's going to be here every Sunday, beginning on September 12th. This is a show being brought to you by BAMSI. Peter Evers, he is the BAMSI CEO. He is my guest. Peter, welcome to the radio program.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
So for folks who don't know, tell us what is the acronym for? I know what it means. Ben knows, but what is BAMSI?
Yeah, it formed around 1975, and it stands for Brockton Area Multi-Services, Inc. Been around providing human services for the Brockton area, but also down towards the Cape, over to Worcester, up in Tewkesbury. Big footprint of providing residential homes for people with developmental disabilities, also for people with serious and persistent mental illness, and a lot of programs out in the community providing services for, I like to think, the entire lifespan, from early intervention services to elder services to help people with isolation issues. So a long history. Sometimes I think it might be a well-kept secret in the Southeast, except for those people who are our funders. So really trying to get the message out about what a great place BAMSI is to work.
Is that one of the antithesis for the new radio program beginning on September 12th at 11 a.m.?
Yeah, that's one of them. But it's also really to talk about the COVID vaccine, to talk about the pandemic, and also to celebrate the essential nature of the people who have worked at BAMSI and every other place that's been looking after people over the last 15 months. You know, this has been a terrifically difficult time for everybody, but more difficult for others, I think, in terms of people having to come to work to care for people and having to look after their kids. And it's really a celebration of that, but also an effort to persuade people and have a conversation about the benefits of the vaccine at this stage in this country.
Yeah, again, it's interesting knowing that when we look at this region, some folks are very resistant when it comes to vaccines. So why? Talk to me about seeking success in putting forth such a campaign.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've come a long way. Massachusetts has done an incredible job when it's compared to the rest of the country. When you look at the rates, 75% of people in this state have had at least one vaccine. That's great. But now we're getting to the business part of the persuasion. That is, engaging people in a conversation who are reluctant, and they're reluctant for all sorts of different reasons. You know, no wonder. It's in the last 15 months of our lives have changed completely. The vaccine is new. No wonder people are worried about that. People have concerns. They're listening to news on different outlets. And it's just an effort to engage people in a conversation about why, from a public health point of view, rather than a political point of view, that vaccination is the way to go in order for us to get back on an even keel in the society.
Is that the biggest hurdle to overcome, is knowing that this vaccine has been politicized?
I believe it has been by both sides.
Yep.
I'm not taking sides, but I am I'm a little afraid that we've lost the facts here and we've lost the ability to reasonably argue with each other. I mean, there's no point in you saying to somebody, I don't agree with you, you're wrong, when you're engaging somebody in a debate. You've got to find out where those people are coming from, what they're listening to. And if we can get to the fact that the public health argument means that we'll be able to visit our families sooner, that we'll be able to engage in our normal activities sooner, then we begin to start this process of saying, this is normalization. And nobody is going to escape normalization from now on in terms of how we get to normalization, is what I mean.
We talk about COVID and we see how it's having an effect on the workforce and causing issues in various sectors across the state here. How has it affected BAMSI?
Profoundly. You know, I actually began my work at BAMSI on March the 2nd of 2020, which was about a week before we went into lockdown. So it really was a question of reorganizing entirely. We had residential workers living in our program, so people didn't get, so our person served didn't get infected. We ran a great organization of keeping people safe for 15 months, but people were working from home when they had other responsibilities with children, with, you know, schools being out. We have benefited, as many have, as with help from the state and the federal government to keep our PPE up. I mean, we spent $1.2 million in personal protective equipment over that period of time, and it was exactly the right place to spend that money.
Is it tough to put together a campaign when there are so many misnomers regarding the vaccine?
I think so, but you wouldn't necessarily have a campaign if there were so many misnomers. And I believe, again, from a public health perspective, the only way that we can get to a place where really we're not having new variants, because the Delta variant is purely and simply because not enough people are vaccinated, you know, and we've got to talk about the benefits of it. You know, you've almost got a 0% chance of dying from COVID if you're vaccinated fully. Let's start there. That's a great argument for self-preservation. Not only self-preservation, but for the preservation of our family and our friends.
Would you like to run down a few BAMSI facts in regards to the COVID-19 vaccine?
Yeah, we as I said before, we spent $1.2 million on PPE. And that was to protect our staff and our persons served. We actually, during that time, protected everybody, and we ran a campaign to vaccinate our staff as well. We're a little slow on vaccinating staff because people still need to be persuaded. We're around 60% of our work group who is vaccinated, and that's not good enough. We have to keep persuading people that this is the way that we need to go, and maybe there'll be mandatory vaccinations for people soon, as there have been with state workers and with hospitals. We'll just have to wait and see.
My understanding is that there's been a lot of discussion in regards to essential workers during the pandemic. What has your organization done to help them during this crisis?
I think what we've done is we've looked at our state contracts and we've said they're not paying enough. These people really have shown us, and they didn't need to, but how essential they are. So actually what we did about 2 months ago is made a decision to raise entry-level jobs, direct care jobs, by about 20%, even though there wasn't the financing for that. That was a big risk. That was the finance department sort of tilted their head a little bit when I suggested that we did this. But really, we were losing people due to unemployment benefits that were payable and the fact that they could work in a less dangerous place, if you like, because working with people is dangerous. People really responded to that. We did have a lot of vacancies. We're beginning to fill those vacancies by recognizing that. We've also been singing the praises of what we can offer people. It's not really about coming to do a shift on a Thursday night. It's joining the BAMSI family. It is participating in tuition reimbursement for people who want to go back to college, that kind of thing. And getting involved in the discussion about what it means to be BAMSI.
That's interesting you say that, because I feel that maybe that's part of the disconnect for a lot of what, depending on the industry, where folks are leaving those industries and wanting to go elsewhere. The key word that you used was family. There's a bond to that when you say family. Do you feel that's what BAMSI is? That's what your organization is? Is it family oriented?
I do. I mean, I believe, because we've got 120 programs in 140 different locations.
Goodness.
So we're all over the place. So keeping that bond is really important. People are very close with the people that they work with, and that's a family. But then there's the organization itself and people getting to know what we stand for. And we stand for being interested in people's past, present, and future, that we can make our essential employees excellent when they work with us. And that's what they are. They're excellent.
Would it be fair to say that BAMSI is kind of a cross-section between, you? Not only are you a nonprofit, but you also deal in healthcare?
Yep.
A lot has changed in the past 18 months. What would you say are some of the biggest changes?
Well, I think, you know, the change that was coming anyway was the integration of all healthcare. Instead of looking at the disease of addiction or mental health, it's looking at the whole person. And that moving towards that idea of treating people as a human being as opposed to the disease that they come with, I think is probably the biggest change over the past few years. When it comes to the pandemic, though, you know, I think one of the things was we went to telehealth for our clinicians. Amazing. We've been trying to do this for decades, but when we had to do it, when it was forced adoption, if you like, people realized that this was great, that they didn't have to come in for an appointment. Now, some people like to come in, some people don't. But as we go forward, we're looking at all of these benefits that we've had from this grand experiment, if you like, over the last 15 months, and saying things like that work. We're meeting people where they are. We still have the same high clinical standards of, and so I think we've learned a lot, and some of it has been good.
You know, it's interesting. I almost kind of like feel like you're doing your radio show now. It really does. Who came up with the concept of doing a radio show? And this is something that's going to be reoccurring. You're going to be week after week.
Yeah, actually, I did this in my previous job. I was working in New Hampshire, and we had a radio show called I'm Listening, and it was on every morning, and we would have guests. And it would really be about all issues, behavioral health, mental health, and substance use disorder, but bigger issues as well about, you know, up in New Hampshire, obviously, we would have the presidential candidates come in and chat with us. I don't think we'll probably be able to do that. But really, it was about getting the message across, getting the name of the organization out there, and just having some great conversations with people.
Now, will it be strictly folks from within BMZ, or will you also integrate some of your partnerships that you have as well?
Absolutely. So we'll be having some docs come on to talk about these public health issues around the vaccination, giving advice about how to live with COVID. We'll also be talking about the stresses and pressures that puts on people with their family lives, isolation and loneliness, and what some of the remedies for that are. So I think a broad church of conversation that we'll be having with a lot of people.
Yeah, that is a... You know, we talk about COVID and dealing with the virus itself, but you mentioned loneliness, and I kind of feel that that's been something that's kind of isolated. People, folks are still kind of a little hesitant to venture out. Is that, we have specialists on to kind of talk about that as well?
Yeah. I mean, I believe that loneliness and isolation is one of the biggest killers in this country. In fact, Murchie, who was the Obama's doctor, said that it killed more people than cancer. Now, I don't know that. I don't have but people do live lives of quiet desperation, and we do a lot of work in Brockton in the towers with elderly people, and all the work is getting them together, encouraging them to break bread with each other and to make friends, because especially for the elderly, loneliness and isolation is a huge issue, and any socioeconomic group.
If you're just tuning in, we just got a couple of moments left with Peter Evers. He is the CEO of BAMSI. Any stone that we haven't turned over during our conversation? Anything we haven't mentioned, but we want to take a moment or two to make sure that we share with the listeners?
Just that we've been around for a while. I would really encourage people, please, to go to BAMSI.org. That gives you a full idea of what the service systems are and where you can make a referral to. And also, if you're interested in careers, same thing, BAMSI.org, and then go to careers and opportunities, because we have plenty of opportunities for folks.
And are there any particular positions that you're looking right now to openly fill that maybe if you want to announce or at least say here, you know, we're looking for certain clinicians for this? Or
Yeah, we are always looking for direct care staff to work in our residential programs, that is with people with developmental disabilities and mental health issues, and nursing. We take care of some of the most medically fragile people in the state. Some of our houses, our people are on vents, our person serves are on vents 24/7. We're always in need of nursing and always in need of clinicians to provide behavioral health to people in the community.
So as we wrap up, would you like to take us to break and tell folks that they're tuned in to Monday Night Talk here?
Yeah, Monday Night Talk, which is going to start on September the 12th on this radio station at 11 a.m.
You excited?
I'm very excited. It's going to be fun.
He is Peter Evers. Be sure to tune in starting September 12th at 11 a.m. That's when you're going to have the brand new BMZ radio program brought to you courtesy of 95.9 WATD. Peter, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kevin. Take
care. We are going to step aside. That's it for the first hour of Monday Night Talk. When we come back, we are going to be speaking with Adam Barisano. Talk a little real estate here on 95.9 WATD. Stay tuned.
What can give you a competitive edge in today's red-hot housing market? Rocket can. That's because Rocket Mortgage can give you a verified approval. It could help your offer stand out. Rocket Technology provides a rock-solid verification of your income, assets, and credit, giving sellers greater confidence in you. Go to rocketmortgage.com or call us today at 8338-ROCKET.
A verified approval is based on an underwriter's analysis of your individual financial information, appraisal, and title report. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states and MLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
You're always up for some fun with the family. So you order the essentials, a new board game, some baking supplies, and even a new projector for outdoor movie night. And with the Bank of America customized cash rewards credit card, you can choose to earn 3% cash back on online shopping, which could increase to up to 5.25% as a preferred rewards member. Rewards which you can put toward an extra treat that everyone will enjoy, like an old-fashioned popcorn machine. Visit bankofamerica.com/more rewarding and apply now. Copyright 2021 Bank of America Corporation.
Dive into fall with everything to power your big ideas during Dell's Labor Day event. Save up to $300 on select Dell XPS and Alienware systems powered by Intel Core processors. Save on top accessories like Dell monitors, docks, and other popular tech essentials. Limited quantity deals go live each weekday through September 8th with free shipping on everything. Call 800-BUY-DELL for Labor Day event savings. That's 800-BUY-DELL.
Your parents reached for Vicks when you were little. Now that you're a parent, Vicks Children's Botanicals Cough Syrup is what you reach for to help soothe coughs and clear mucus without drugs or high fructose corn syrup. That's because it contains natural marshmallow root and ivy leaf to help soothe coughs and clear mucus associated with hoarseness, dryness, and irritants. So look for Vicks Children's Botanicals Cough Syrup, day or night formula.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is Paul McCarthy with a reminder of a great opportunity for all adult learners. The Labor Guild School, the oldest continuing adult labor education center, is now registering students for its virtual fall term. Labor law and steward training are among the many popular courses offered this term. Interested students should contact the Labor Guild at 781-340-7887 or the Guild's website, laborguild.com.
The 13th annual Marshfield Community Rib Cook-Off will be held on Saturday, September 11th from 12 to 5 p.m. at the Marshfield Fairgrounds. Despite Dwight and Jim Sylvia will provide the entertainment. There will be a touch a truck area and other kids' activities. Wristbands can be purchased in advance for $5 at mcrco.org. Proceeds will benefit the Marshfield Food Pantry, Marshfield Facts, McKinney Vinto Foster Care, and the NCC Missions. Again, mcrco.org for full details. Thank you, and I'll see you there.
Hey, it's John Shea here from Almost Famous Radio, introducing you to independent bands and musicians from across New England every Tuesday night, brought to you by Tiny and Sons Glass. Join me tomorrow night, just a little bit later, around 9 o'clock for Almost Famous. We'll have tons of new music and upcoming events to let you know about, and we'll be joined on the Tiny stage by Jay Kelly of the Jay Kelly Band. Tomorrow at 9 for Almost Famous, 95.9 WATD and 95.9WATD.com.
WATD FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton. The South Shore's first choice for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, and severe weather. WATD. Streaming online at 959WATD.com and with your smart speaker just by saying play WATD. Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
All right, here we go. Hour number two of Monday Night Talk. Later this hour, the Sarge Riley from the sports station Up the Dial. It's what I have to legally say, but you know where it is. Number one sports radio station in the Boston area. He's also the PA announcer at Gillette Stadium and for your New England Revolution. But right now, we're going to talk a little real estate as we have joining us. This gentleman is not a stranger to this radio program. He was actually on in the spring. I teased that earlier, right, Ben? As we talked a little bit about the spring market. We said, what the heck? Changing of the seasons? Let's bring this guy back in. Adam Barisano, who is with Jack Conway.
Jack Conway and Company.
Jack Conway and Company.
Good to be back here again.
Yes, but
we're actually here now, though.
Yeah. We're not doing the video thing.
We are in person, yeah. And we are live
and in charge. So,
I like that.
You like that?
This is beautiful. Yeah.
Can I ask a silly question?
Ask a silly question. I'm used to it.
Is there? No, no, no. You can say no.
There's no such thing as a silly question.
Is there really a difference between the spring market and the fall market?
You know, there used to be this fallacy in real estate that there were different markets, but it appears there are not now because it's not slowing down. It's not stopping. This endless seller's market, Kevin, it's just not stopping.
But does it concern you that the biggest thing that you and I had talked about is this housing stock?
It's hard. It's hard right now because I have so many pre-approved first-time home buyers. And it's tough for them because, again, we're just seeing such an inventory shortage. Now, there has been some come along, right? But as soon as you see something on the South Shore, North Shore, it doesn't matter where, as soon as you see it pop on, Kevin, we're up against 10, 15 offers. I did just win a fantastic house in Scituate for a beautiful family and their two kids, obviously making them a family. So that was good. That was good to win a bidding war like that. Like I said before, I am a bit of a bulldog when it comes to these bidding wars, and I will find a way. I'm not going to give out the playbook.
Yeah, don't tell the... Never give out Nana's recipe to her sauce.
You can't do it. Ooh. Exactly.
Ooh. Ooh. You don't do that.
Ooh. Shout out to Gene Barisano, the late Gene Barisano.
So as you're sitting here telling us about, you were able to, you know, have win this bid. I mean, what does it seem like? Because there's less out there, you're working extra harder as
yes.
a realtor.
Oh.
But is it a bad thing?
It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing because if you're going to excel at the craft, you might as well learn in the most difficult seller's market in history. So if you're going to excel at this and you're going to be successful at this, why not come in when it's unprecedented times like this and you learn literally everything and more? I'll be able to teach this stuff from generations to come now, you know? And that's just, I'll be able to literally teach a class and say to these up-and-coming full-time real estate professionals, I was there when this happened. I was doing this when we went through this, you know?
You know, if you take a look at 2020, now we were in the middle, straight out in the middle of a pandemic, but my understanding was is that during 2020, it was real estate sales were up.
It's when it boomed.
Is it still booming? If you can do a compare and contrast between 2020 and this year, where's 2021 trending when it comes to 2020?
You know, what I've seen from a lot of studies, because, again, I follow this stuff every day, is it's just climbing. 2021 in comparison to 2020 has gone up. It's just, and again, I can only attribute that. I am not a loan officer, so legally I won't, you know, I can't sit here and say this is why. I can suspect that it's because these interest rates continue to be outstanding and so many people are realizing, like we had discussed in the spring, so many are realizing the downfall, and I hate to say downfall, but the downfall of renting as opposed to owning your own property.
Yeah.
You know, these rent prices are just astronomical. You know why, Kevin? Because people know that they can get these rent numbers, so they're going to get it. And who's going to blame them? I can't blame these tenants out there for asking the rental prices that they're asking. You know, if it's there, take it. Take it and run.
But is there a fear of a housing market balloon bursting eventually?
Well, they say what comes up must come down always, right? And it's just a matter of when, it's a matter of how, it's a matter of what type of circumstances come into play that causes that to go down. But when you think about towns like Scituate, Marshfield, Pembroke, do you know anybody personally that's looking to get out?
No.
They love where they are.
Yeah.
They love where they are. They love being here. They love being, and in Massachusetts especially, but now it's all over the United States of America. I mean, I'm talking to people from Florida who are seeing their homes go for sale and these massive bidding wars. I think it's just a matter of, again, and I can't guarantee this, it's these interest rates, and it's just, there's not enough supply to meet the demand, the same way we said in spring. And there's been no market transition. There's been no lull. It's insane.
What do you feel would be, and this is just your opinion, not a, you're an expert in this area per se, but it's your opinion. You're somebody who you do this for a living. What could remedy this situation of no housing stock or limited housing stock?
Interest rates need to rise again. And I wouldn't so much call that a correction. But there needs to be some sort of fluctuation with interest rates. And we're seeing that a little bit. But like I said, I mean, more supply needs to become available. And it's another thing, like, where else are you going to build? We're seeing developments, and we're seeing houses being built on top of houses on top of houses, and it's just all over the place. It's astronomical.
You have communities that are actually pushing back, where they're saying someone wants to build on a piece, a parcel of land, and they'll people will come out and go, we're afraid because A, we're going to see traffic increasing. B, we're also going to see the number of children in our schools go up. Again, more people.
Right.
That means that, you're going to have more need. You're going to have to pay more taxes because there are more bodies that are going, that are at school, police, fire, all those things.
That's it. And you know what? Here's the thing. This might help me out a little bit because me and my wife, are public enemy number one because we built one of the newer homes in Scituate and moved in. And they don't like us. They don't, not so much us, but they don't like the people that are moving into these new developments in Scituate, these new single families. They don't like that because of just what you said, Kevin.
Here's the other thing. It's the pricing point because you have an older, and as a individual who has been a reporter, somebody who's covered these things, I've had conversations about them, and the idea is the younger individuals like yourself, you're willing to come and you're willing to pay the higher taxes. It means that you're going to have better schools, you're going to have enough police and fire, where the older population, they're on fixed incomes and they want to hold on to their homes. Yeah. But the taxes keep going up because, you know what, let's be honest, is that's what happens. Nothing comes down.
Right. You know, like I said, go back to where we were. Good. All right. As far as me sort of playing devil's advocate, not saying that the people who are angry about us are the devil. No, by all means, it seems like we've taken over their town a little bit. I've been a lifelong Scituate resident, but I am in agreement with how these people are feeling. I 150% feel like, how much more can you build? How much more can you do this to these communities? And again, we're running out of space.
You also look at, though, I think another problem that we have here in Massachusetts is a lot of folks are, they may work in Boston, right? But they don't want to live in Boston because it's too costly.
Think about it. And since the global pandemic, everything is remote now. Sure. And I don't see that changing, Kevin. I thought, before this second wave of COVID we're hearing about coming through, I thought, okay, maybe the city's going to start to become populated again like it was before. But I was in the city today. Ghost town. Everybody, for the most part, is still remote.
Yeah.
And that's a huge factor. That is a huge factor. That and the stabilization of interest rates. Stabilization, is that even a word?
Yes.
It is.
Yes. So like if a community, their budget, part of the budget to be a stabilization account.
My father tells me I have a little bit of a habit of making up words. Sometimes he's right, too. I literally will make up words now and again.
But one day it'll end up in the Urban Dictionary. You'll all will be right with the word.
My father always looked at me and started laughing. Adam, you totally just made up that word, buddy. But it works. It sounds like it works.
We are speaking with Adam Barisano. He is with Jack Conway Realty, and he is our realtor. And we're here talking a little bit about the fall housing market and what it's like. If you had a couple of moments here to share a few precious tips for a prospective individual who's looking to sell their home, but they're also going to be in the market themselves. Have you had any situations like that?
I'm in a situation like that right now. Where I have, again, can't give away too much information here. Obviously, can't divulge much for privacy reasons, but I have a couple, and you know, who all their kids have gone to college in Taunton, getting ready to list their beautiful 5-bedroom house on a in a gorgeous neighborhood. Won't give the neighborhood away, and they have to find something. They have to find something, but luckily enough for them, they're looking more in the condo bracket. And they even said to me, "Listen, Adam, if we get a certain price, we'll go rent somewhere. We'll go rent somewhere until we find that perfect thing, perfect situation." So here's the advice I can give. If you're in the market to sell your house, you are, as I said in the spring, I'm going to use it again, you are the king of the mountain, the king of the world as the seller right now. Mm-hmm. If you have to move into something immediately, it's going to be a little bit harder, but you're going to get an offer. You're going to get buyers that are going to hang around for a pretty decent amount of time while you find that house. And again, it, you know, if you have an offer that is astronomical to the point of, you know, not walking away from it, I would suggest if you can move in with somebody, because then when you go, you sell your house, then when you take that next turn to buy your own house, you have that money in the bank already, you're ready to move forward, and you know, if you've rented a little bit or if you've stayed with a friends or family for a little bit, you really are king at that
money
point.
In the bank contract.
We're going to talk a little bit about that kind of stuff later, I hear.
Sorry, you said it just triggered me for a quick second here.
A little wrestling reference.
A little wrestling reference if you're a WWE fan at this particular time. Yeah, it's interesting that it is more of a, when you look at the supply and demand, you know, demand right now is outpacing the supply. It's intriguing.
I mean, if you were in a situation right now to go make an offer on a house, I mean, I'm telling you, I would be giving you the advice. I'd say, Kevin, get ready. We'd go through our list of things that I coach people up on, but I'd say get ready to take the L, and we do the 24-hour rule. All right, we do the 24-hour rule, which you mourn your loss for 24 hours. You kick yourself, you get angry that you didn't win the house. Then you get up the next day after that 24-hour has passed or whatever time it is, and you go and you get ready to make that next offer. And that's something I do with real estate, with my sellers, with my buyers, is I am a mental coach for them. I'm their shoulder to cry on. I'm their whipping boy at times if they need a whipping boy. You know, I have to be more than just a realtor to them. I have to be
a different
role. You do. You really do. It's the biggest thing that people do in their entire life, you know? And you have to be, not just anybody can step into this field. You know, you have to play the role of many.
Very interesting.
You know?
So I would ask you this, is how long are houses staying, are they remaining listed? I mean, is it longer than 2 days or longer than 3 days?
Well, in the time that you just asked me that question, I'm sure 4 houses just went under agreement in situated in Marshfield alone. Did Sarge just arrive?
EJ, the
Go
easy now. Come on. Stay focused now.
Well, I'm not that excited. I'm sure him and I are going to get into it a little bit later.
Oh, good. All right. Should he sit on this side of the table?
He might have to. Okay. He might have to. That's my boy right there. But, no, you know, what were we saying? We were, how long are they staying?
How long? Because
a weekend open house, Kevin.
No kidding.
Literally a weekend open house. Weekend, I mean, they were giving offer deadlines. We're waiting for offers on Monday after running open houses Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Well.
So, it's incredible. And the offers you're getting are just, I mean, people are waiving contingencies of all kind. Home inspection contingencies gone. If they have a mortgage, appraisal contingency, they'll pay the difference if the property doesn't appraise. It's mind-numbing.
I've done my share of real estate conversations, produce shows that talk real estate. And remember, Dave, you know, if your house is, you know, on the market for 30 days and you haven't gotten a bite, that might not be good.
That's the thing. And that always boils down. See, now with my sellers, that always boils down to pricing. If your house is sitting for too long, it's 90%, 90% chances are it's a pricing issue, you know? And I always try to gauge my sellers' expectations and say, look, I know you want a certain amount, but you know, with a comparative market analysis, you give them what their house is worth, and then they're pleasantly surprised if it goes over. You know, and a lot of times it will go over, but you have to gauge expectations. You have to.
So is it the day and age? Do you have to? Because I know folks who have sold houses and they go out of their way to paint the house, to make sure they spruce up their frontage, and you know they may get it all ready. Maybe they might do a little staging, you know, in case they do have a nice open house. Does the seller have to do as much as they once had to in order to sell? No.
No, absolutely not. They don't. Does it help? Yeah, absolutely. Having a beautifully staged house makes a difference in just presentation alone. But are you still going to get that? I mean, we're seeing right now that the staging and sprucing up your house is just not a factor the way it used to be. People are actually overthinking it. I have a condo coming up in Pembroke, and this lovely woman is just stressing out so bad about a wrinkle in a carpet. And I'm saying to her, you don't understand. You have one of the only condos for sale in this town. You know?
You name your price almost.
Literally. You know, and I always, again, I was taught professionally, you always give a comparative market analysis. You know, you always come in with you don't let, you know, I would never want to have somebody come in and make up the price of a house. No. I will teach you and gauge you what the house is worth, and then we'll go from there. You know? Price it accordingly, and then see what happens after that, you know?
How difficult, talk about your experience in setting what a house should be listed for. Do you have any stories as to, you know, the easy times of setting it, then others who may want to set the bar a little too high?
Oh, boy. Well, this is a situation where I exceeded expectations that I didn't, and I don't like to pat myself on the back. I really don't.
You might pull a muscle.
I'm so hard on myself. Yeah. I know. Right? Yeah.
Remember, it's radio. They can't see that.
I know. I've been so working hard.
I know.
What can I do?
Nope.
TV sometime, right?
Yeah.
Anyway. So I had a two-bedroom, one-bathroom home in Quincy. And I was terrified because they wanted to go in the sixes. They wanted to start in the sixes. And sure enough, we got it listed, and you know, a couple offers had fallen through, and I love these people, and you know, but they said, we're not taking anything less than this. Luckily enough, I mean, after one offer that was way over fell through, we still managed to get back there and then get exactly what they wanted. And I'm not going to say the exact number of what they want, but we made it happen. But this had me sweating. I'm at the listing presentation, and when they hit me with a number that I wasn't expecting. I didn't pull the comparable for that, for a two-bedroom, one-bathroom house at Quincy, hot market, obviously.
Yeah.
And a beautiful house, but it just so different, you know? So when that all worked out, Kevin, I went on a mental vacation for about a week until the next thing was thrown at me.
Now, what is your do you have an area? Is there an area that you work within as a real estate agent, or is it a matter of someone reaches out to you and they're you're licensed in Massachusetts, anywhere in the Commonwealth?
Kevin, I am the real estate road warrior. I am going to get out there and I am going to go wherever they need me to go. If it's in driving distance, I'm going to give it 150% effort, and there'll be no lockboxes on your house. I do accompanied showings only. If you want to take your business to the next level and you want people to view you as a next level realtor, like these people you see on television, sure, you need to offer the very best. And that's what I do. And I'll go anywhere in this state, you know, and if for some reason I can't get to it, I'm going to refer it out to somebody in Jack Conway that's going to get the job done just as well as I would.
So you're okay with kind of handing it off, knowing that it's going to satisfy your customer?
Yeah, and if it's in, exactly. Jack Conway has such an extensive range of offices that handing it off to another Jack Conway agent is the same thing as keeping it for myself.
It's not a bad thing.
You know, we have the most amazing network of real estate professionals, I feel, in the United States of America. And this is what Carol Bowman and the Bowmans have created. And one Jack Conway agent to the next, you're going to get exceptional service, whether you're a seller or a buyer. So handing it off is not always a bad thing if it's too far, you know? But I go pretty far. Kev, I go pretty far.
If folks are tuned into this segment, we're going to wrap this up so we can get into, we go from the appetizer, not to call real estate an appetizer, but we're going to get into the entree of our evening here.
I can't wait for this.
I know you can. I know you can. I'm not as big of a fan as you are, but I feel this.
I'm not so much a fan. I embody what professional wrestling is.
See, that's what I'm saying.
And we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, we will. So if folks want to find out more, if they want to enlist in your services, or at least reach out to you and kind of expand upon anything we talked about tonight. How can they do that?
I listen, my cell phone is glued to my hip, like all of us, and you know, all the time. Please reach out to me at 781-561-5044 or on Facebook, Adam Barisano Realtor, or simply search my personal Facebook and shoot me a message, Adam Barisano on Facebook. Thank you all so much for listening, and don't judge me about wrestling, and just realize that I'm a good realtor. But then we're going into
sports entertainment.
Oh, is that what? Is that what? Oh,
sports.
Are you one of those guys?
No, but I'm proper. I'm a diplomat.
Oh boy,
I'm a diplomat.
You're a WWE guy.
No, I'm actually a WWWF guy. I'll throw that at you.
We're gonna have fun.
We are gonna have fun.
I'm excited about everything that's going on with real estate and everything that we're about to do with Mike Sarge Riley in a second here.
Okay, we're gonna step aside. If you heard the tease there, Sarge is in the building. We're gonna bring him in, and we're going to get right at it here. You tune into Monday Night Talk here at 95.9 WATD. Don't go anywhere.
On August 31st, it is National Overdose Awareness Day. It is the world's largest annual campaign to end overdose, remember without stigma those who have died, and acknowledge the grief of the family and friends left behind. Time to remember and time to act. We at WMEX, WATD, and our sister station, WBMS, are proud to say we will broadcast live the vigil this year from Brockton High School on this special day. We will be on at 6:45 August 31st. This will be a moving, emotional event with many speakers. If you can't get there, join us here. Let's remember those we have lost to this awful epidemic and help remove the stigma that surrounds it.
What? Just 15 seconds to talk about Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea? That smooth taste of real brewed tea with just the right kick of alcohol? Well, we started already. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Look for it in the bright yellow cans.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Like a cleaning product that can be used in the garage, the laundry, and the kitchen, and save space in your cabinet? Hi, I'm Bruce Fabrizio, inventor of Simple Green. To learn more, visit us at simplegreen.com.
Hi, Tom Baudet from Motel 6, leaving the light on for the homebody, who now would rather be an anywhere but homebody after spending 12 months stuck at home with nobody but themselves. Well, Motel 6 has plenty of clean, comfortable rooms, all at a great low rate. So when you decide to visit somebody, anybody, anywhere else but your home, Motel 6 will be waiting. I'm Tom Baudet from Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
The 13th Annual Marshfield Community Rib Cook-Off will be held on Saturday, September 11th from 12 to 5 p.m. at the Marshfield Fairgrounds. Despite Dwight and Jim Sylvia will provide the entertainment. There will be a touch of truck area and other kids' activities. Wristbands can be purchased in advance for $5 at mcrco.org. Proceeds will benefit the Marshfield Food Pantry, Marshfield Facts, McKinney Vinto Foster Care, and the NCC Missions. Again, mcrco.org for full details. Thank you, and I'll see you there.
It's a brand new year with brand new opportunities, and Massachusetts Public Schools are ready. Together we're doing more to accelerate learning, ignite students' interest, provide comprehensive support, and continue our commitment to diversity. We're ready to help students excel every step of the way. Get ready at mass.gov/backtoschool.
Sponsored by the Massachusetts Department of Elementary and Secondary Education.
Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9watd.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Judas said,
the best entrance music in professional wrestling right now.
What's even better?
I'm just going to say that.
It gives me chills. So if you watch when Jericho comes in, he's in the ring, and the crowd is still singing the lyrics for an additional 30 to 40 seconds, and he just got this big grin on his face. It's amazing.
It's brilliant.
I apologize, but we have added another member to our faction here. As Adam Barisano is staying for this conversation.
Yes.
As he also, other than doing real estate on the side, he's somebody who also is in the wrestling biz.
I am.
He is. He'll talk a little bit about
that.
Talk
about that later. Let's bring your guest in here. This is a very influential individual in my life. Okay.
How are you guys doing?
This guy started me in sales right here.
That's right.
He really?
Yeah.
He's a life changer.
Mike, I'm sorry about that.
Hey, it worked though. He's making dough, man.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
Doing his best.
That's right.
He is.
And that was a great intro, the Judas Effect. That's an awesome song, Jericho. I love it.
See, I was between that or I like Sane, too. Sane is pretty good.
Oh, yeah, that's
by
one,
Fozzy.
Too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jericho's one heck of a...
He's it.
He's with AEW.
Yep. Big match on Sunday.
Big match.
Yep.
I got to tell you, the clickbait is, like, mad. Because I don't know if either of you, have the problem where you look at wrestling stuff and then littered in all your social medias, like this story about this, and they're trying to say the one latest clickbait is that this is Jericho's way back to WWE. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
That's not true.
Why? First off, I believe he's got a 4-year contract.
I think the contract is up in January, actually.
Really?
From what I understood, I believe so.
You think he'd ever leave?
No. Well, here's the thing. I talked about this with my tag team partner, Jimmy Stewart, on Wrestling Inside the Ropes. You can say it. Go ahead. On our
station
up the road. Yeah, he's a good dude. And I mentioned that to him last night on our show, and I said, you know, I would not be shocked if Jericho does go back to WWE, only because he and Vince, I believe, have a fairly good relationship. And the reason why I say that, why was he on Stone Cold Steve Austin's show?
Oh.
Broken Skull Session, right?
That's a good point.
Yeah, and that's
a heck of a show.
So he's under contract with AEW to go to Stone Cold's show right there, right? That's interesting.
That was different.
And if you listen through the lines, too, of Jericho's podcast a couple of years ago when he signed on with AEW, he made it very clear that he and Vince have a great relationship.
But what's interesting is just this whole new dynamic now where, you know, WWE, after they bought out WCW, and they were the lone ones standing on top of the mountain, staring down at the Serengeti with no other competition.
For an
egregious amount of time. And then out of nowhere, Cody Rhodes is like, you know what? Enough.
Time to do something.
Tony Khan gets involved, becomes a partner in this. And before you know it, they start adding little chess pieces. Now it's like anything that is cast away by the WWE is somehow scooped up, or somebody's been retired for 8 or 9 years.
Right.
You know, I think I want to get back into the squared circle. I wasn't successful, you know, with the UFC.
Right. CM Punk.
CM Punk,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Although my understanding is he did well when it came to drawing.
Yeah,
he was a heck
absolutely.
Of a draw.
Yeah, yeah.
He just, for the wrestling audience.
Yeah.
He just couldn't win fights.
Yeah. And Adam, he knows this, too. I mean, competition is good. It's a good thing.
It's very good.
Right?
Hey, look at what they just produced for SummerSlam.
Yeah. Right.
You get the return of Becky Lynch. You get the return of Brock Lesnar.
I still got a problem with that, the way they did that.
I didn't like that.
Speak. Isn't that terrible?
Cool. Yeah. Not cool.
Sure.
That's not cool.
Yeah, no. About. I mean, Bianca Belair, I thought WWE has, and someone even made the point to me.
You put an elbow into her face and knock her down.
6 seconds.
It was like 26 seconds.
Yeah. But you know what? Someone made the point that she is the only freshly produced babyface by WWE. I can't think of anyone else.
No, 110%. And
right?
Here's the thing, though.
And you built her up. You have her have a great WrestleMania match. And, you know, first...
In true WWE fashion, though. And this will... And again, Sarge, I want to I want to give you your time here. I just talked about real estate.
This is awesome.
But this is the wrestling roundtable here. This is what boils my blood about WWE is the fact that no matter how over a huge baby face becomes, once they start to become their own thing, it's like the powers that be have to kick them down a peg.
I know. It's
case in point, The Fiend, which is Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt, I mean,
innovator. I have been...
That's your boy.
I've been BS about that for some time. As you saw on my social media, I was not happy, Sarge.
No, you were not pleased.
Not pleased at all. Still not pleased. And I'm going to take a sip of this water here and...
sip for the working man there, Kevin.
Cool my Italian blood down for just a second. And
No, but you're talking about it. I mean, very popular, especially with the merch.
Yeah, huge.
They loved them. And then you...
Well,
get it.
The way they've been going the last year, WWE, from a business standpoint, there's a couple things you have to look at. At the start of the pandemic in April of 2020, March, that time, that was supposed to be WrestleMania weekend in Tampa. Supposed to be a, I think it was or just one night. Then they made it a two at the Performance Center. So no crowd, obviously.
Right.
It didn't, I think it was a week after, less than a week after, they made all those cuts. Right?
It was nuts.
Cuts during the biggest pandemic in over 100 years, people out of work.
It was awful to see. It was awful. Somebody I'm personally, honestly.
You and I probably,
Mikey Bennett.
Bennett. Matt Cardona.
I was devastated for these guys.
Mike Chioda.
It was.
Very good buddy.
Oh, you know, man.
Things.
Just good people.
But what they've done now, they did it again. They had more cuts this year. And The Fiend, part of that, not the cuts, but just after that. And what it seems like to me, what WWE is doing, no relation to Tony Khan of AEW, Nick Khan of WWE, he is a established business TV exec. And to make that deal with Peacock, I believe it's only a matter of time before WWE sells to NBC.
Really? I think you're 150% correct.
I love us, man.
but what about some of the other spinoffs? I mean, NXT is supposedly...
Well, that's the other thing. NXT this week, man.
We'd be good together on that sports station you work with. You should talk to Jason.
We'll talk to the boys about that.
Sports I used to work at that sports station.
I know you did.
On the sales side,
that's
actually.
Right, you did. You know how to make the dough.
You started it for me, brother.
That's right. You brought yourself in there. You just I put you up to the plate and you hit the home run.
We had some fun.
Yes, we did. But you know what, Kev? It just feels that way.
Old home week is over. Back to talking wrestling here.
The mutual admiration society.
It might be time to stop the bromance for a little bit, right?
No, I'm okay with the bromance.
We just haven't seen each other in a little bit. We're very happy.
Hug later, but let's talk. Let's talk. Because there are things that if Vince McMahon, I mean, it's his family legacy. I mean, this is his family business here. You're going to sell it off. And, you know, Triple H, you know, Hunter Hearst Helmsley was... You know, I thought he was kind of the heir apparent. You know, Shane, I don't know, maybe Shane somehow is in on this. I don't know.
Well, Shane just signed on with another company. He's no longer part of the day-to-day operations of WWE.
Right.
And, you know, I think there was some friction for a while. He left for a while.
Was it with the old man or with his sister?
I don't know about... Do you know that, Adam? I don't know all that.
I honestly do not.
Yeah,
I
something... No. But if... here's the thing, though. Vince McMahon just turned 77 the other day.
Yep.
77,
yep. Happy birthday to the chairman.
Happy birthday to the chair, yeah. And I think they're setting
You're
up for
fired.
It.
Fired. Evil. He's evil, evil man.
Well, I...
Stop it!
Kevin's all an act, isn't it?
I plead the fifth on this one because I know people who have personally worked for the man, Vince McMahon.
I've never met Vince personally. I would love to shake his hand and say, you're my modern day Walt Disney.
I miss the days when he was actually a baby face announcer.
Well,
he was
right.
Loved that. And then he just, you know,
Do you know the first time I found out when Vince McMahon was the owner of WWF? When Jim Ross got on the microphone ripping him, saying about that he got fired from the Bell's Palsy, I'm like, oh my God, I was absolutely shocked. That was like the year before the Montreal Screwjob. It was September 96, and that was like the seed planter for the evil McMahon.
Right. I was, for me, Sarge, for me, Kevin, it was when Degeneration X, the original, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and China were at ringside the night after Bad Blood, the night after my favorite of all time, the loose cannon, Brian Pillman, passed away.
Yep.
God rest his soul. Triple H and Shawn went out there and they were exposing Vince for the curtain call incident.
Right. Right.
And they were saying, and this almost got us all fired, and then everything that they were saying.
Right.
This was Vince McMahon's biggest embarrassment in Madison Square Garden. I'm like, oh, this guy's the boss.
Right.
That's
right.
When it clicked for me.
Guys, I know this is kind of our little roundtable here. Do we want to make this an actual squared circle? We actually get someone called in.
Fatal four way.
Do we want to? We want to.
That would be amazing.
Your show, man. I love it.
Your show, man.
I think we have Paul from Abington. Paul, do you want to? Chime in?
Let's do it, Paul.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm enjoying the conversation, and I wish I was part of that squared circle, as Kevin just said.
You just made it, the squared circle.
Yeah, you're in. We got a Royal Rumble now.
You just made it. So you want to chime in on something?
Well, there's so many things that you could, from history side of things to what's going on now. I've been a long-time watcher. I tell the story all the time. My first remembrance of getting into wrestling was when Bob Backlund beat superstar Billy Graham in 1978. I think I was 8 or 9 years old, and have been a fan ever since, from all the pay-per-views to... Yeah. It's just what's amazing about, wrestling in general is how relevant a lot of, not all, of course, but a lot of wrestlers can still be after 20, 25, 30, whoever it may be. I'm not even talking about the likes of a Hogan or a Ric Flair, but just even, these guys that are in their 40s still able to do what they do. And once again, it's all about getting that bang, which, that's what makes or breaks a lot of these guys. They can all be jobbers, but at the same time, you need to be, great on the mic. And it's become more and more of that over the years. It's all about not in the ring. It's about outside the ring.
Yeah.
But did you have a chance to watch the last pay-per-view, SummerSlam?
Well, what happens is my brother-in-law and my nephew kind of goes with what when I was a kid, teenager, 20, 30-year-old growing up, it was always my uncle did it, and my father would go along for the ride and kind of play along. Oh, yeah, boom, 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 whatever. It was me and my uncle were really into it. He, unfortunately, had passed years ago. So now I've become that uncle with my nephew. And, that's awesome. And my brother-in-law is more into it than my father ever particularly was. But so it's just a matter of carrying on that
wrestling is
that tradition,
family.
I guess.
Who's your favorite current day one, Paul? Do you have a favorite current day superstar?
I mean, I've liked so many over the years. I mean, I liked Triple A. Come to find out, I've known for years, but my wife went to school with Triple H.
Oh, wow. In New Hampshire?
Quote-unquote Paul Levesque at Nashua High.
Yeah.
I think she might have been a year. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think she was a year older. But, Paul Levesque of Nashua High. And I've tried to look up different things, but I can't find any. You could supposedly find yearbooks or whatever it may be, because she said she vividly might remember what he looked like. Of course, he was a lot smaller.
Well, was he a nice guy? Or was he walking, through curtsying like Hunter Hearst Helmsley did?
Well, come to find out, but if you read about him, he actually went to the local guys, Killer Kowalski's wrestling.
Yes, right. Which is now owned by Chaotic Wrestling, a promotion I'm very familiar with.
If you look at a lot of these guys, I'm amazed by one mere fact, is that a lot of guys, or maybe even the females too, but a lot of wrestlers have Boston ties. It's amazing how many have Boston ties. And I'm going even to the, I think you just mentioned a name a little while ago, Mike Bennett, and who's married to Maria.
Yep.
Casanellas or whatever her name is.
John Cena.
Kofi Kingston.
Tommaso Ciampa.
It's endless.
Right.
There's a ton of them.
Yeah.
But what I find amazing, and you guys were just hitting on, it went from WCW, and then it went to obviously now AEW. People don't realize. Maybe I know people do if you're pure wrestling fans, but the TNA was at its highest or its best.
Yeah.
Right around the early 2000s when AJ Styles was smaller than he is, but he was like the high flyer with Christopher Daniels. They had some great battles.
It was fun to
and
watch,
Abyss
man.
Came along, and Samoa Joe started there, and Rick Rude, not Rick Rude, Bobby Rude,
right?
Yeah. So a ton of names that came from that, and it kind of, that actually became kind of a joke. And I just find it amazing that they're tied up now with AEW, and there's so much crossover going on between those two factions, which I'm not a big fan of the TNA side of it or whatever it's called now, but they still have some decent wrestlers. A couple guys that were jobbers here, or WWE when I say here, have now gone over there. You just mentioned Ryder and a couple other guys, Brian Myers and such, but all these different guys. So it's just amazing. This is an influx, and like you said, it's no different than the big two sports stations, Sarge being part of one of them. Competition is huge. That's good for business.
Yeah. Well, so last question I'll ask you before we let you go, Paul, and that is, you talked about older guys. John Cena, 44 years old, he was in the big match, you know, with the head of the table, and you had Goldberg, who's 54, you know, who was taken out by Bobby Lashley. Did you like seeing the older guys in the big matches?
I don't mind it, but I'm always just curious, and I think they all do probably well enough making a living, as opposed to years ago. I always heard stories, like a Tony Atlas told a story once that he'd go into a gym and he might walk out with $25 in his pocket, and I'm talking about even during like the, you know, late early 90s or something to that point. But when a guy like John Cena, no different than The Rock, all of a sudden is gone from the business and steps in, and I know it's all about the summer of Cena and he was promoting his movies, but all of a sudden now he takes the main event against, and I was pulling for him. I want to see Cena win it because I want to see him get that 17th title, which is, that's kind of fabricated because, you know, when they talk about, you know, Flair having 16, and that was over different factions, and who knows how many different real titles he had. He might have had 50 titles. But
in WWF, he only had two.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. But back to what I was saying is that a guy like Cena steps in, all of a sudden now he's, I just don't know how that's ever perceived or received in the locker room, if it's really nothing even to that they don't worry about, because once again, there's so many guys like a Braun Strowman that should be the king of the world, but yet has only held the title a couple of times as an example. You know what I mean? So there's so many different ways that we can have this conversation, which I'm enjoying already, but I appreciate being able to get on, and I just
have to bring you into the studio next time,
the
Paul.
Last few hours.
Well, Paul, we'll try to have another one of these. Maybe we'll try, if the Sarge would be kind enough, depending on his schedule.
Absolutely.
We'll try to have him come on maybe once a quarter. Maybe we'll have him on in the fall sometime.
He won't big league us. He'll come.
He'll come.
Just give him the notice. Make it happen.
But, Paul, we want to thank you for calling in.
I'm just surprised with all the stuff on TV and everything, that radio, wrestling on radio, I kept waiting for 20 years now, has never... I don't know if it's just a matter of people won't advertise for it or what the deal is, but like there's no wrestling talk at all, and I'm just totally surprised by that.
But that means you're going to have to tune into Mike's podcast.
We got a podcast on the station website. You should listen to it. It's available on demand, and it's on there every week, Paul. So please check that out, and you know, maybe we'll do another live show after a big event like we did for WrestleMania this year, which was actually really successful. So maybe we'll have more of that down the line. But you're right, though. There's no voice for the wrestling fan there, but the podcast there. Please check us out. We'd love to have you tune in sometime.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks for coming, Paul.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right.
You know, it's interesting that he had mentioned Flair. And I don't, because I got two more questions, and then I want to kind of do some local stuff and give Adam a couple of moments as well. Give the Sarge a couple of moments to kind of pimp his podcast as well.
I appreciate it.
My first question is, he mentioned Flair. How about Charlotte Flair?
Yeah. So a couple things with her. She is now a 15-time women's champion. Yeah,
but if you look at how many...
or is it 13?
It's like 12
or 13. It's getting right
around 12 or 13,
there.
But the whole thing is like she'll get the title, and then she loses it to Nikki A.S.H. You know, it's like,
she's...
What the hell? You know, what is that? She gets it, and then, you know, Nikki comes down and cashes it in. It takes her out in seconds. It's happened a few times, actually.
Exactly. And Charlotte, of course, being the daughter of the Nature Boy, all that pressure on her. And she's been a natural heel.
It
does work.
It absolutely works.
But you know what? I had so much thought. I think a lot of people thought that she was going to lose that match at SummerSlam for a couple of reasons. One, her dad was just released from WWE on his request.
And her significant other as well.
Exactly. Andrade.
Andrade El Idolo.
Who is an AEW.
Fantastic.
He's really good.
He's exceptional.
But it sounds like that Ric Flair might be going AEW to be his manager.
And they got Chavo managing him right now, but
right. But now you can get.
I mean,
Flair,
can you imagine? I honestly
that would really draw the needle.
It would be a better. It would be a better. It would be a better fit.
So
it would be a better fit to have Ric Flair with Andrade.
But the go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Get
well,
the
I was
one.
Going to say. I think a lot of people thought Charlotte was going to lose and possibly walk out. I predicted her to win because of the opposite situation where WWE could stick it to her and say, no, you're the champion, you ain't going anywhere, because you know how it works,
of
Adam,
course.
Right?
Of course.
You know, they want to keep her misery a little bit.
Keep her around for 200-300 days.
Yeah.
And then that possibility of her going jumping over there,
yep.
Somebody else rises. You got Ruby Riott who just...
She's going to AEW.
And then there's that non-compete clause she'll have to deal with if she does... If
the 90-day.
You know, it's...
Yeah.
Serious stuff.
Yeah. I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. Maybe it's heresy, but I'm going to ask it.
Please.
Is there going to be a point in time where the AEW or IGCW end up overtaking the WWE? Is that a possibility with all their talent? And let's not forget, it's not just talent, but writers. You got a talent like Oscar, who, you know, we haven't seen her in a while. You know why we haven't seen her? Because they have nothing creative for her.
That's it.
Right. She's just sitting idly.
That's it. Do I think that AEW will overtake the monster WWE? Sarge, I don't know how you feel about this. I just don't think it can be taken down.
Well, you know what? I think they'll give WWE a little run for the money.
Yes.
You know, I think what would really, if they really want to play hardball with them, is to move Dynamite to Monday night, go right up against Raw.
Yes.
And I think that would make the WWE, because Raw right now, Adam, as you know, I mean, even though the ratings last week are actually pretty good, that was also the first show after SummerSlam. Let's call a spade a spade. You know,
it's been, I mean, think about for how long it's been lackluster.
Yeah.
So up until after the show, night of SummerSlam.
Yeah, so it's in Boston, you know? 2 weeks from tonight.
That's what AEW is doing so well.
Yeah, so I...
Is there 2-hour programming?
Yeah, short, less is more. I think if they went head-to-head directly with Raw, then they could potentially take them down. But right now, they're playing, they're in that arena, but there's something still missing. And maybe CM Punk is the guy.
You think so? Does he still got it? Well,
let me tell you something. Right, CM Punk mentioned the other night a dear friend of mine, and I told him because he AEW said he couldn't call in tonight, and he wanted to call in because he loves this stuff. Brian Pillman Jr.
Oh,
my dear friend. Okay, Punk mentioned him the other night, and I'm telling you something right now. Did you remember in the promo when he said, "I'm looking towards the young guys,"
yes.
The young guys, and he named a bunch. Then he said Brian Pillman Jr. Well, I immediately ran and texted Linda Pillman, who I've become very close with the Pillman family.
By the way, that was a great Dark Side of the Ring on.
Oh,
I mean,
was
it was sad, but it was really good. And Brian Pillman Jr. to
Brian,
be so open
Brian
about
Jr.
all that was really
came into
courageous.
Town and, yeah, he came into town, stayed with my wife and I, best house guest
really?
In the world. The week after that, he did an independent show with me.
Is that right?
And he's just the most remarkable kid. His father would be so proud. But
yeah.
What I think CM Punk is doing, back to our point, what I think he's doing is he's coming in there, and Kevin, I do believe he's going to be able to compete at a decent level for a certain amount of time, but he's going in there, and he's going to give some of these young guys the rub of a lifetime, and I feel Brian Pillman Jr. will be one of them, and amongst some of these other younger guys. You got your Jungle Boy. I mean, think
yep.
about he's exceptional.
Jungle Boy. I mean, he had a great spot with Kenny Omega
right.
a couple of months ago.
I think Punk is going in there. CM Punk is going
Darby
in there.
Darby Allin.
Yes.
Right?
He's going in there, and he's going to give these guys the rub they need to take AEW to that next level. And that's something we see falling very short in WWE is that rub to the young superstars.
Right. Right.
You know?
Because you have to bring back John Cena. You got to bring back Goldberg. You got to bring back Brock Lesnar.
That's it.
Come on.
Get out
of the comfort zone.
Interesting that you mentioned Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Lesnar wasn't due. Some of the stuff I've read, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because you're the pro at this, not me.
No.
I'm just kind of, you know, a fanboy.
Well, there was rumor that he was going to be Survivor Series.
There was rumor that supposedly The Rock was up because the whole thing... Because that's what people are expecting is where The Rock is...
Sort of tit-for-tat thing because of Punk and then...
Yeah. Well, not so much that. Well, not so much that. No, actually, the reason why Lesnar was brought in was because of Punk. That's what I heard.
And I would be a little ear on the side of caution, too, because a lot of people think that The Rock is going to fight Roman Reigns at WrestleMania in Dallas.
Head of the table.
This April. And
I'd
be on the ear of the side of caution with that because I don't know if The Rock is all in on that. And if he's not, I think the simple answer is you have a rematch, John Cena and The Rock.
You ever watch the show Ballers?
I used to, yeah.
I think he's his days of doing something like that, like the Cena-esque type of thing.
Yeah.
They may be behind him right now, unless he gets
John bored. Cena Rock again.
Cena Roman Reigns.
No,
John Cena Roman Reigns.
Bloodline.
Yeah, Cena Roman Reigns.
They pushed John Cena Roman Reigns.
They were supposedly going to after SummerSlam. Sorry, they were going to start going down that road.
Yes.
But
yeah.
When CM Punk signed,
right.
All of a sudden they pushed.
I think maybe the problem with me personally right now is I'm all Elite.
You're all AEW, huh?
I'm all Elite right now,
and it expands more beyond
my friendship with Brian. It's,
no, and I think that's great.
And
you know what? AEW is a great product.
It's got me hooked.
Yeah, and you know what? I think unfortunately everyone took a hit with the pandemic. Without the crowd, it killed it.
Yeah,
didn't kill it, but didn't help. Okay, AEW, to their credit, they started putting the talent in the crowd there to have some life.
Yeah.
Otherwise, WWE had the Performance Center, then they figured out this Thunderdome and everything, which got old.
Which was cool.
It was cool
in the beginning, but it got old quick.
Very cool
in the beginning. I remember me and my brothers were watching it.
It was better than them shouting to the empty seats like that.
Oh, that was.
Insufferable.
Yeah. Oh my god, it was horrible.
But AEW their production level is not the same as WWE.
It's not where WWE's production level is at all.
But you can never count out AEW now because Tony Khan, he's a part owner in the NFL.
Oh, yeah?
And we know the NFL is revenue sharing. So
yes, sir.
That's the perfect example right there. Sir. You can own the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're fine. It doesn't matter.
150%. If he wants to come in there and have Trons on the floor, video footage on the floor, Tony Khan will do it.
Absolutely.
So while we have a few moments left here, you actually are involved with somebody who's had a couple of moments with AEW appearing on AEW Dark. We're talking the guy who's known as Fear the Gear.
The submission specialist.
This guy who I watch this guy just rear back.
I call him the anomaly.
This guy who he will punch somebody unconscious or do a standing jump elbow.
How do I talk about Spencer in such a short period of time? We got till what time?
What's the hard out?
Here?
Yeah, you got about 4 minutes.
Okay, I'm not even going to go that long because I want to let my partner in crime here, Sarge, finish things up. I said I would never come back. For me, being a professional wrestling manager was the only career path for me.
Yeah.
You remember my time with Chaotic.
Yes, I do.
You were at Cold Fury.
That's right.
Chaotic Wrestling is, for the longest time, and may still be, the be-all, end-all in New England wrestling. There's only up from there.
It's true.
I left Chaotic Wrestling in 2016 after the loss of one of my dear friends in wrestling, DC Dillinger, David Cahill.
Oh,
And I was broken. I was done with pro wrestling. Yeah. I said I would never come back. Pro wrestling was all I needed, and if I couldn't have pro wrestling, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, here I am, 2021. Gentlemen, I am very lucky. I have everything a man could ever want in this world at 35 years old. I feel blessed. I got a call from the owner of New England All-Star Wrestling.
Ooh.
And he said, and he's a close friend of mine. We came in, we broke into the business together. He said, Adam, I have something for you to look at. I said, Caleb Seltzer, his name. I said, Caleb, I don't want to hear it. I'm not coming back under any circumstances. I'm done with pro wrestling.
Right.
Then he sent me Spencer Slade's video, and I just...
Guy's a specimen.
I looked at my wife, Jacqueline, and she said, absolutely not. Now, as you know, we're expecting our first child.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
So on that news today.
Breaking news.
A boy. Yeah.
Breaking news.
Send your gifts to Adam and Jacqueline.
And a boy, yes. And
baby Barisano.
That's scary. Baby boy Barisano.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so I said to Jacqueline, baby, come on, just kind of coax her into it, you know. Look. She watched him for all of 2 minutes in the match, and she said, you got to go back and help this guy.
Wow.
Now, Look at that. Spencer is 26 years old. I am 35 years old.
Yeah.
We have the same age difference between us that Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar do. Ooh. Spencer is a cross between Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle, and he looks like a Randy Orton kind of supermodel.
I mean,
he is an anomaly. He is the lost art in professional wrestling. He is what you used to look for on television. He's got the height. He's got the build. He's got the in-ring prowess. All right? He is a specimen. And this time around, this time around with professional wrestling, I'm coming in to New England All-Star Wrestling, and I am investing in this.
When's the show?
Spencer Slade. September 25th.
Where?
September 25th at the, I will get you that date.
Yeah.
I will get you that arena.
Can tell the people.
I will get you that arena.
All right.
I will get that.
I can stall for a second so you can get it.
Look at that. The Rockland Hardcore facility in Rockland.
Okay.
Right up the street from here. I haven't even really met Spencer yet. Okay.
You're about to put him over, though. That's all we know.
I'm telling you something right now, all right? I used to need pro wrestling. For lack of a better phrase, I don't need pro wrestling. Pro wrestling needs me.
Wow.
And Spencer Slade, he doesn't need me. Pro wrestling needs Spencer Slade. He doesn't need professional wrestling. This guy is the anomaly. This guy is the greatest unsigned professional wrestling talent walking the planet today.
I want front row seats to this.
And you're going to be the guy?
Sarge, I want front row seats.
You bet you will. So I will be the benefactor.
Wait a minute.
Spencer Slade.
Is it a nighttime show?
It might be.
I got a Revolution game.
You see how invested once again.
Tough loss the other night.
We're going back on the fact that professional wrestling needs me more than that, cuz I don't even remember my dates. all I know is I'm coming back from my brother's wedding on September 24th, driving back from Maine, and like Evel Knievel, I am going to rip into that arena and I am going to present Spencer Slade to the world.
Love it, Kevin. Look at this.
Fear the gear.
Love it.
Sarge.
Hey, thank you, guys.
You're the best.
You are, man.
I just going to one more time. Did I?
Folks want to check out your podcast.
Oh, sure. Yeah, at Sarge985 on Twitter. There you go. Check it out. I'll get all the information right there at WrestleCast95. And hopefully see you down at Foxborough, guys, for a Pats or Revs game.
No, are we going to go have dinner or what?
We're going to put him in a chicken wing and get him back here again to do another, show.
So. I'm going
to
need an espresso. Back.
That's all the time that we have.
Yeah, you guys are the best.
All we have until next week at 6:15 p.m. Set your watches to... We'll be back. Till then, have yourself a great night.